Okay, friends, we are given another day to gather together and speak of scriptural things, Bible things, things that pertain to our existence and purpose on this earth. Human beings created in the image of the great I Am. It's the most logical worldview in my investigation from one who once entertained the idea that there is no rhyme or reason. We are simply animals on this earth, slaves to our instinct, the dance of our DNA. Somehow, somewhere, from nothing, something exploded. And millions of years produced an illusion of intelligent life form on this earth, an illusion of creation, all just an illusion, a myth, a fiction. We are products of nature and nature only, from nothing to something. Bang. Evolution brought us to be where we are at. I entertained that worldview once and perhaps thought of it as being scientific. I've grown much since then. I've looked into many things since then. I'm a very matter-of-fact kind of an individual. And someone may scoff at that and say, you're a matter-of-fact kind of a person and you believe in a God. Well, just size up the faith. What do you trust in? As one who once entertained the idea of atheism, I believed in a mythical timeline, in a mythical nothing into something, in a mythical this, that, and the other. Was it so far off? So yeah, now I am a believer. More specifically, more accurately, a Christian. I was given the name, the family name Christ gave me, God gave me when I was born again. The truth set me free. Those things that happen, you know. Those things are often quoted in a very deviant way, used against Christians in a format to mock believers. Whatever. Oh, hey there. Good morning, Brother Dean. It's good to see you with us, man, on the comment thread. We are 10 a.m. on the Atlantic Dial over here in New Brunswick, Canada. My name is Stefan Maye, and the website you want to check out is addedsouls.com. I am a minister for the Riverview congregation here in Riverview, New Brunswick, Canada. And, yeah, there it is. If you'd like to know more about all of that, reach out to us. Send us an email, a private message, a phone call, whatever. We'll talk to you. We want a lot more to get involved. 6 a.m. over there. Yeah. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Whoa. You got yourself 4 hours. That's right. You're over there in Nevada? Forgive me, brother, if I'm missing it, but I thought you're in Los Angeles, right? I think. I'm speaking to one of my friends here on the comment thread. Yeah, the topic today is, of course, this is Pod Vlog episode 78, and we've titled it Written Gospel. Written Gospel. Yeah, that's right, brother. It is Sin City, isn't it? I'm with you, man. There are many Sin Cities on this planet Earth. But over there, It's quite the challenge for a Christian when it is publicly, openly stated as such. Good morning, Amy. Good to have you with us on the comment thread. So we're going to be talking about the gospel, written gospel. A written document can be utilized as evidence in a court of law. A credible, honorable court of law with the means to present communication in a written form with its grammar and all that good stuff, right? In our current Looney Tune world of religious error. Oh, hey, good morning there, Larry. Good to have you with us. In this crazy world we live in, where religion has become a hoax, a joke, and has turned off many individuals, naturally. Christianity or the gospel is now presented from all sorts of demon nations through the lens of emotionalism, relativism, and many other isms. It's no longer based in fact. It's no longer matter of a fact kind of a thing, matter of fact. It's now, do you feel this? Do you feel that? So they're understanding of the gospel or Jesus, God, Satan, angels, demons, right, wrong, heaven, hell, all this kind of stuff. To them, it's merely subjective to the whimsical attempt of their own emotional roller coaster, you know. It's no longer a solid, objective standard of reality in which the scripture is written, rightly handled, presented, the author's interpretation therein for us to, of an accountable mind, study, learn, believe, obey, and rejoice at the fact that there is redemption for mankind. That's important because we have people. Sadly, that kind of an influence and deception has crept into the church, and most of our brothers and sisters in Christ within the Lord's church, they've created Jesus in their own image or an image of a gospel that is not the one you read in the scriptures. It is simply the one that is presented from wrongly divided scripture and coupled with the world's pagan ways or emotionalism, relativism. No one can really know the truth. But I really feel that this is what I want to do and believe. And you couple that with some very powerful speakers, charismatics, you know, the eloquent provocateur and one who can deliver the linguistic style and art, craft, that'll tickle your ears very well. And you'll believe a gospel that's simply not in the Bible. And that, sadly, is why we who stand firm in the truth, the written gospel, are oftentimes persecuted by our own kind who have allowed the world's adaptation of the gospel to seep into their thoughts, control their lives. That's why they'll come on and say things, well, that's what you're doing is unchristlike, or it's very judgmental, or it's very this, or it's very that. Well, they're not trusting in the written gospel. They're trusting in their own created image of the gospel. And their own created image of the gospel is one that is cowardice most times. It is hypersensitive and controlled by a leftist narrative and ideology. It is very misguided. Things of that nature. It never offends. It will never tell anyone that they are living in sin. It's just a false view of the gospel because it's not based on the thoughts of man. It's not based on the written gospel of the Bible. It's based on the thoughts of man, and the thoughts of man change every minute. So we want to talk about the written gospel. The written gospel, Paul speaking to Christians who were living during the same kind of climate, if you will, even more depraved, if so. That can be the case now. To Christians who were allowing the influence of the world's manipulated gospel or thoughts or discussion, discourse, behavior, practice, tradition, Paul was saying, let those who think themselves high-minded, you know, self-righteous hypocrites, those who think themselves inspired, creating them in themselves a false gospel, you know, something that is not written, something that is, again, subjective to their own thoughts. Let that go and remain focused on what is written, because the gospel that you obeyed is a gospel you can read. It's a written communication. It's a written testament and will. And you can find the foundation of your trust within those words. They are crafted, penned down by the Holy Spirit, delivered through the penmanship, of course, of inspired men, the apostles, governed by the outpouring power of the Spirit. You can trust that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and following, we quote from the scriptures. Now I make known to you, it's a knowledge I make known to you, an education you need to pay attention to, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, the good news of Jesus Christ in which I proclaimed to you, which also you received this message. You receive this message because it is from a divine source. It is written, it was prophesied of, and it was delivered to you through a rightly handled scriptural proof. You received it, in which also you stand, you have courage, you live in it. The good news of the Christ, the salvation therein of his of this good news, right? By which also you are saved. So you received it, you stand in it, and you are saved by this gospel. It makes sense. The same penmanship here, Paul, an inspired man in Romans 1:16, says the gospel is the power of God to save, right? So we know there is salvation. Salvation is the forgiveness of sins. It is simply a different descriptor. It speaks of one who is shackled in bondage, snared in sin, false beliefs and teachings, practices, behavior, all of that, shackled, snared, slaved, saved from that dark pit. You've been saved, released, removed from that location of death and destruction, uncertainty and doubt. You've been released from that. You've been saved. You've been forgiven of your sins, washed clean by the good news of Jesus Christ. When you received it, now you stand in it. If you hold fast, keep active, productive in your trust of the gospel, live in it and with it, allow it to continue to remain with you. If you hold fast the word which I proclaim to you, unless you believed in vain. In vain is useless. It has no purpose. It won't do anything. It's having the flashlight in your hands with batteries in the flashlight, but never turning it on. Yet speaking about how it illuminates when you do, but you never do. Oh yeah, this is a wonderful flashlight. I love this flashlight. Look at how beautiful this flashlight is. This flashlight, you know, it saved my life. You know, it can save our lives. This is a perfect flashlight. When you turn it on, it lights the whole path in front of you so that you don't fall in a dark pit or bump yourself on a wall or something. It's just such a perfect, beautiful, powerful flashlight. Do you turn it on? No, I don't need to do that. Why would I do that? I mean, I believe it works. I believe this flashlight is a good operational flashlight. It has the batteries in it. Everything's, I mean, I believe in it, but no, I'm not going to turn it on. Why would I do that? I just need to believe in it. Paul is telling the Christians in Corinth Not only believe in it, turn it on. Have it on at all times. For I delivered to you as of first importance, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33. It's of the most priority on the list of things I brought to you. Before anything else, what I brought to you of most importance was the good news. What I also received, Paul speaking, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Paul's instructing them, guiding them to source of origin, a divine source of origin, the scriptures. The gospel I proclaim to you that I also received, that I want you to remain in, that you too received and stand on. This gospel, it don't come from the minds of men, the ones out there who are trying to manipulate you and deceive you. Don't come from them. No, it comes from the scriptures. And the scriptures come from God, ultimately. So that's where you go for the script, for the gospel. And that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, and so on the text goes. Paul's revealing to them, of course, the death, burial, resurrection, witness, and ascension. See, sometimes we leave out those two other ones there, and we shouldn't. We should put them in there in the gospel, because that's what it is. It's the gospel. And the gospel can be known through the written word. See, that's where we go. The death, burial, resurrection, witness, and ascension of Jesus Christ is a written fact you can investigate and know to be true. What is truth? Reality. What is reality? Well, reality sets us free from the bondage of myth, fiction, what is not true. Paul wants them to remain in reality, the truth that set them free when they received the good news of Jesus Christ, death, burial, resurrection, witness, and ascension. Where did we get that information? It don't come from the minds of men. Men didn't create it. We aren't smart enough to come up with something like that. What have we come up with? Nothing. So what do we need to do? Submit ourselves in humble fashion to the written word. Because therein, we find the divine source revealing the truth. A written gospel. Everywhere as you go in the Bible, once you open your eyes to the spiritual reality of the text, you will see it everywhere. It just screams at you. Words, written, scriptures. Words, written, scriptures. Words, written, scriptures. Don't believe me? From the beginning to the end is this very truth, revelation. Communicated, chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. I'm just going to point out words that you find in Revelation, chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. Communication is the word there. Communicated, the word of God. Words, written. Words, written, the word of God, communicated. Words, written, communicated, the word of God. Paul to the Corinthians, the scriptures, where do we find the death, burial, resurrection, witness, and ascension of Jesus Christ? In the written word. In the written word. And if we'd simply stick to that very fact, we won't get caught up in all the myth the world is portraying and preaches from their pulpits. These demon nations, denominations, deviations, separation from the reality of the written truth. We won't allow our minds to be captured, captivated, shackled to the thoughts of man, which is uninspired, which is natural and carnal, fleshly. They'll teach us all sorts of different gospels. They'll teach us of a Jesus who never called mankind to repentance. They'll teach us of a Jesus who only appears once a year in a little manger as a little tiny baby, helpless. They'll teach us of a Jesus who never stood firm and courageous against evil and wickedness. They'll teach us of a gospel that is of a social nature, built upon a social club, instead of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, his kingdom. They'll teach us all kinds of different gospels. They'll do so when it comes to evangelism, when it comes to benevolence, when it comes to fellowship, when it comes to worship, when it comes to the plan of salvation. They will manipulate all of that and create the gospel in their own image, and they'll do so by picking and choosing out of context wrongly divided scripture. And they'll manipulate the minds that are unlearned, because it's based on a subjective standard of measurement, the world's ways. It's not founded on the rock, which is an objective reality of measurement, righteous judgment, scripture. Why do we believe as we believe? Because we have a book, chapter, verse for it. Does God operate with mankind? Yeah, of course. We pray, don't we? And providence is well and alive through the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yet where do we find our instruction for salvation? Where do we find this gospel? Where do we go to in order to know the plan of salvation? The method of worship, the uniqueness of the church, how we should fellowship, what is fellowship? All these things in the written word. You're not going to catch a feeling. The reception of the Holy Spirit has come and gone, my friends. You're not going to literally be governed by the Holy Spirit and become an inspired individual through some kind of a dream or, quote, vision or religious experience. All of that is a bunch of mumbo jumbo. It's voodoo religion. It's pagan. And it's mishmashed with the linguistic deception of these frauds behind pulpits. Don't go there. Paul is telling them, don't do that. They'll captivate your thoughts. Don't go there. Stick with the Bible. What is written? It is written. Why do you think the influence of the devil hates the Bible so much? Why do you think they don't want you trusting in the Bible, but want you trusting in your own feelings, or in the priest, or in the popes, or in the pastors, or the reverends, or the this, the that's? Anything to get you away from reading this for yourself. Anything. They'll go to great lengths. Some will even die for the cause of keeping you away from this book, because therein the truth lies. That's all. That's it. It's a written gospel. It was literally walking on this earth, our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, God come down in flesh, as prophesied, fulfilling all the prophets. It literally took place, all these events recorded, and now for us, we can read these accounts, these eyewitnessed accounts. It's the perfect law of liberty. What is perfect has now come. The rightly handled 66 books of the Holy Bible. Anyone adding to it or removing from it is lying to us. And there are many liars out there in the religious world. Oh, man. So many liars out there. They want to remove from your hearts the plan of salvation, the uniqueness of the church, the way in which we must worship, and the way we must fellowship, and how we are to evangelize and be benevolent, and all these things. The Bible teaches us. The only time it gets blurry and messed up is when mankind wants to remove or add to it. That's it. There's no other iter than the word that is written. You'll find great comfort in that. It'll challenge you. It'll pierce you. It'll have you change your mind. But you see, the world has you brainwashed. Fully. It'll have you emotionally invested, deep-rooted in all sorts of lies. And it'll have you thinking that the truth is a threat. And that somehow the truth is the lie, and that you're not the one brainwashed, but those pesky Christians in the church over there, they're crazy. They're brainwashed. That's how a lie operates in your heart. It'll twist everything around. You'll look at wicked things and think them to be good. And you'll look at good things and think them to be wicked. The scriptures, what is written, this gospel, what you can see in book, chapter, and verse, rightly handled, everywhere is in conversion, is a believer, a repentant believer, confessing Christ as his Lord and Master, qualifying to be immersed in water, buried, clothed, plunged, dipped, submerged, baptizo, in water, therein, calling on the name of our Lord and Master for the forgiveness of his or her sins. They'll have you thinking that's not what the Bible teaches. That's foolishness. That's not true. Baptism's not necessary for one to be saved. And all these individuals snared in the devil's trap, they're all headed towards hell. But they won't believe that until the day their heart stops beating. Or the day the sky opens and it's the second return of our Lord and Master. It don't matter what you tell them. You can't convince them otherwise. They've dug their heels. They're set in their ways. They're rebellious. But they think themselves to be in fellowship with God. Under the thoughts and manipulation of man's mind. Some of them, most will never want to get it. They'll just want to call us names, this, that, and the other. But there is a few out there who is going to listen to some of this content and the content that is produced from what we can read in this book. And they'll say, wow, you know what he's saying there? It's making a lot of sense to me. I've been looking at the religious world and it's a mess. But what he is saying that comes from this book seems to be something that can be defendable. It seems very practical, matter of fact, logical. It could be practice. I could sit down and I could actually defend that belief. Yeah, that's right. According to the scriptures. But we want to remove the scriptures. No, we don't want to do that. Removing the scriptures is the end of all things. Look at the world. Look at what it's been doing since it has removed, well, the Western world, since it's removed this from public life, schools, the household, politics. Since we've removed this from our hearts and minds, the household, everywhere's public life. Since we've removed it, take a look around. What's happening right now? Riot, murder, abortion, homosexuality, perversion. We have kids being taught they don't know their own gender. It's a mess. One says it's always been a mess. Hey, I'm not saying anything otherwise. It has always been a mess. There's always been sin on this earth ever since an accountable man and woman chose to disobey God. And now each one of us, when we reach that age of accountability, instead of staying away from sin, we sin. And now we have all of this all around, fallen world, right? But there has been moments. There has been recorded moments in the Western world where public life was of a moral compass because we were basing our beliefs on the Christian principle that we read in the Bible. There was a time when things were much better than they are now, currently. Now there's a full-on public attack on Christianity, and they're not hiding. It is what it is. They've certainly are part of any political group or anything that's going on, but they are most strongly now coming from the Liberal Party, the Democrats. Say what you will. I don't care what you have to say. It's just a fact. You can talk about that all, you can talk against that all you want. It's just a fact. That's all. It's a fact. But whether it be a political party or not, it don't matter. Wickedness is very public now. It's in our schools, in our households, it's everywhere. How did it get there? Well, again, good people dropped the ball. And we allowed the world to manipulate our thoughts into a gospel that is not written. You have a lot of religious people who claim Christianity today pointing at wicked stuff and say, look at all the wicked, it's crazy. Well, how do you think it got there? You allowed it to happen. We Christians allowed that to happen. We've turned on our own selves, started fighting our own selves for the most ridiculous, nonsensical things imaginable. Ridiculous things. We got fat and lazy. We got fat and lazy. We created a church that is shackled in four walls. We think the church is a wall. The wall's there. We've allowed what has taken place to take place because we've allowed the world's thought to creep into the church, and then the church bounces that back out, and look at the turmoil, the chaos, the destruction, spiritually speaking, and more and more so, physically speaking. Paul was telling the Christians in Corinth, let's just read it again. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Words, written, Scriptures, the gospel. If we stick with what the Bible says, we'll be fine. But then one says, well, your interpretation is different than mine, and their interpretation is different than theirs. Okay, so are you saying now that God is subjective to our thoughts? So now we get to make the Bible say what we want it to say? No, no, friends. The author of the 66 books of the Bible had an interpretation. And if we're honest, authentic, sincere, genuine, we'll find it. Seek ye first. Ask. Seek, knock. It's a written thing. Okay. If you'd like to know more, by all means, reach out to us and we can study. We hope and pray you have a wonderful day. And that you won't allow things that you can't find in the Bible tickle your ears. Always go to the Bible. Always go there. There's the answers in the Bible. As the sign behind me says, stay focused and stay positive. We truly appreciate all the comments and interaction with all of you. I hope you have a wonderful day. And we shall certainly meet again here next time, Lord willing. And God bless.